bless you. Let's stand on our feet for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for once again being back in your house, O Lord, to fellowship as your people, to meet each other, and more, most especially, to meet with you, O Lord. Thank you very much, O Lord, for the new year, 2023. You have made it, and though we have been through many things as a church last year, O Lord, there have been times of storms, times of valleys, and also times of high and mountains, O Lord. And through it all, you have helped us through. And we are at the edge. We are beginning the new year now with a lot of expectations, O Lord, but also a lot of challenges are waiting for us, O Lord. But the most important thing for us is that you are with us on the boat, O Lord. And no matter how big, no matter how strong the storm will be, but the master of the storm is with us, and you will take us through, O Lord. We believe that you'll be with us through during our time of challenges, and you'll lead us and you'll give us victory. You'll be with us, O Lord, when we'll face temptation, O Lord, and you'll grant us deliverance, O Lord. Bless us now as we commit this service into your hand. Bless the children up there. Bless the rest of the service, O Lord, the preaching, the singing, the worship. Let it be done for your glory. Remember our brethren, we have traveled, O Lord. We remember Brother Wilmo down there in Norway. Keep and protect him, O Lord, and bring him back safely, O Lord. Remembering Brother Maxwell, thank you for a successful operation, O Lord. And we believe that the recovery will be quick and complete, O Lord. Take now control of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Happy New Year. Amen. We thank God because we were not around. We had a good holiday in France, in Paris. Where I live my sister. And it was good to spend this time in family, and it was so relaxing. We really, really needed it, especially my wife. I know she's like a machine. You know, she works without rest. You know, sometimes I even get, you know, I need to go really tough on her to ask her to stop, because she will do this, do that, do this. You know, sometimes she will, yesterday she was giving me cough medicine like she gives to Amani. She took a spoon and she came and you know, so small things like that, but she can be so caught up in so many things that she gets tired, you know. But it was a very good rest for us. Thank God that, you know, when we on our way back, it was a different story. Because on the plane, Amani got really, really sick. Seriously sick, you know. We had to strip off all his clothes. Even the stewards, they had to come to help us. You know, he was very hot. And the strangest thing was all the body was hot, but his hands and his feet were very cold. You know, so we were really, really concerned. And it kept on going cold and colder, you know, so it was something unusual. So on our landing, you know, after arrival, we just drove home to drop the rest of the children. We went straight to the hospital. And we spent the whole night at Rueda Hospital after such a blessing of a holiday, you know. And but thank God they discovered that he had an infection, and now he's fine. Amen. So that's why I was really going to give a short testimony before, let's say, an exhortation before our Sunday school lesson. Just to remind you, you know, last year it was a very challenging year as I was praying, Brother Pele passing on, you know, and all the things that went on with his sickness, and it shook us as a church, you know. And just at the very end of the year, the accident happened where we almost lost many of us, you know, but by the hand of God, nothing did happen. When I was in France, the police in Northern Ireland called me to get some more information about Carmel, and they informed us that in the other car, the people there are seriously injured, you know, and I think they were from Poland or Lithuania or Ukraine or something like that. And they needed more information. We still have to go there to give a statement, you know, so we don't know exactly what the devil wanted, but God has been in control of everything. The last Sunday we were here, before we traveled, you know, it was just few days after the accident, you know. So I really wanted to give this testimony just to ask you to remember to pray for our pastor, to pray for the ministers, you know. Because sometimes you don't know what we go through when we stand here. Amen. Sometimes you may be, you know, enjoying a good sermon there, happy, but you don't know what the minister is going through, even before just he came to the pulpit. You don't know the Saturday, the Wednesday, when he was preparing the sermon, what happened exactly. Sometimes we just have to come and pretend and smile, but sometimes things are very tough with us. That Sunday after the sermon, it was a very good sermon. But Andrew, forgive me for saying this. It was a good sermon, you know, and we were blessed. Just after the service, Brother Andrew called me to the office. Straight away, I went there. And you can't imagine, while you were singing here, praising, Brother Andrew was crying there in the office with me. He was crying, literally. He was weeping, apologizing because of my daughter. You know, your daughter, you gave me your daughter, and I took her, you know, she has a broken nose, and I had to really work hard to make him to stop crying. Just after being here, you've seen him smiling here, God bless you, but you don't know what he's going through. Amen. So really, I really ask you to pray for the ministers. Sometimes before they come here, you don't know, a phone call, someone very harsh on you, and you still have to come and preach. You can't take it as an excuse and say, I won't preach, and that because the people are there waiting for you. And so I really encourage you, whenever you have an opportunity, pray for the ministers, because the devil is always, always trying to destroy what God is doing. So we thank the Lord. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture. First Corinthians 12, from 12 to 14. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one, For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So we are just going to speak very quickly there on this topic of your position in the body, positionally placed in Christ. As we are starting the new year, we need to know what exactly God is expecting for us, from us, you know. We come to church, but we need to have a goal, we need to have an aim, we need to have a plan, you know. As Brother Andrew was preaching on Friday, setting up a vision. We are not just coming, you know, as usual, coming and going back and forth as a ritual, but we need to really understand our role, what place you hold in the, you know, working of this body of Christ, in our local body. We need to know what is your position and what are you, is the rest of the body expecting from you? As Paul was putting it into the allegory, in this type of the body, we are one body but many members, and there's expectations from all the members. All the rest of the members have an expectation for one single member. Let's say the rest of the body expect that the eyes show them the way. The rest of the body expects that the hand help in this and that. So these are expectations, and the hand has to be aware of what's its position in the body. Amen. And what the rest of the body is expecting. Hallelujah. So because if God saved you, if God saved us, it is for a purpose. God didn't call us, God didn't save us just for the sake of saving us. God called us for a purpose. Remember, the prophet speaks of three steps of grace, you know, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification is by faith when you believe, but sanctification, the prophet says, is the cleaning. When you are clean and put aside for a service. Amen. So God, by calling us, is calling us for a purpose, for a service. If God has saved you, it is not just to be sitting there, no, but it is for a service. There's an aim, there's a purpose that God has called us for. And each and every one of us has to come to realization. What did God called me for? Amen. Your salvation is not just to be saved, but you have been saved, you have been sanctified, you have been baptized of the Holy Ghost for a certain service. There is no idle member in the body. Amen. In our body as it is, there is no idle member. Even those that seem, you know, sometimes useless. The other time I was talking about these guys here, you know, these, I don't know how you call it in English. Eyebrows, yeah. They may look like unusual, useless, but just cut them off. You see how children will start running away from you. Amen. It gives you a shape. It makes what you are. Not only that, by the time you start sweating, you realize that these things are important. Because their role is to prevent the sweat from getting straight into the eyes, to deviate it. You know, even those simple, small, that look useless, they are very important in the body. That's why you have been saved. God saved you for a purpose. And we need, along this year as we go forward, to understand. You know, you need to come to realization. Why did God call me for? And play your role. Because we are a body, we have to play our role. Each and every one of us has to play his role. That's why you have been justified, sanctified, put aside, clean and put aside for a service. Because if you miss that, then there's no worship. The prophet says this. And Christ will only meet the believer. The believer can only worship Christ as he is positionally placed in Christ. If you don't discern your position, there's no even worship. The prophet said, I don't believe you get it. Let me go another way, or let me say it in a different way. A believer cannot worship and has no right to worship. No man has no right to worship the Lord outside of being in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You have no right to worship as long as you are not positionally placed in the body and playing your role. Very important. You need to be positionally placed and play your role. If the body is hungry, it is expecting that the hand go and get some piece of bread and do that job and put it in the mouth. And when it gets into the mouth, the job of the hand is finished. It's not the hand that will start chewing the bread, piece of bread. It's up to the teeth now to do that job. And when it's finished, the tongue must help to push it in. You know, everybody playing their role, and as a team, it results into you being healthy, into the body being functioning. And if the hand is there not playing its role, it will kill the rest of the body. That's why it can't tell, it can't say it is part of the body. It has not right to claim to be part of the body as long as it doesn't minister to the rest of the body. So during the year that we are starting, just you need to know what you are playing. What is your role in the church? You know, there's no point of you just coming and going, coming and going. No, we need to do something for the body. What do you do for the body? What is your role? What is your ministry? What is your, you know, what do you assist on in the body? There's no idle members in the body. So if you don't realize that, if you don't understand that, then there's no worship for you. Because God has called us, God has placed us here on earth for a purpose. And there's God, you know, gets glorified only if you meet your purpose. If you don't meet your purpose, the prophet goes even far to say there's no resurrection for you. There's no hope for a life after death. Because everything that resurrects is the thing that has met, that has served their purpose. Amen. So we need really to be conscious of that. And as we go in the year, you just find your rightful position and play your role. Amen. Don't expect everything to be done from the pulpit. Don't expect everything be done by the song leader. They are playing their role. Brother Jesse, Brother John, Brother Joel, and they are playing their role. They've been just, you know, Brother Jesse, few years just he has been in the church, but he has discerned his position in the body. He said, this is my position, and he's playing his role, ministering for the rest of the body. Amen? So you need to understand. Ask yourself, what am I doing? Hallelujah. Amen. You may be doing something, but maybe you are not aware of what you are doing. I'm not saying that you are not doing anything. But if you are not aware of your position in the body, you may not be playing that role correctly. Amen? If you don't know what your position, you say, okay, even if I don't do it, someone else will do it. That's why the role you are playing, just become conscious of it and do it correctly. I can see our sister there, Sister Dash, projecting the songs here. That she has discerned her position in the body, and she's a blessing to the rest of the body. Amen. She's the blessing to the rest of us. Because I can't be here and putting the songs there and doing what Brother Vegas is doing and serving the communion and doing, you know. So, you know, you get, ask yourself, go back, pray, and ask God to reveal your position. As I said, you may be on your rightful position already, but you have no discernment of that position. You may not play it correctly. Amen. So that's why we have a few people in the Bible that found their position. Because God can put you in a situation of crisis just to reveal your position. David went there. His father sent him to give, to provide food for his brethren. He was not sent there to go and fight. But he got there, he found himself in a position of crisis. He found himself in a position, in a challenge before him. He discerned his position. He said, if God has put me in this time to see this uncircumcised blaspheming against the people of God, I have to play my role now. This situation has arisen to help me understand, get the revelation of what my role in the body is. Nobody else had to play that role at that particular time. It was David's position. He said, I can't let this man say things against the army of the living God. I have to go and face the challenge. Amen. That was his position in the body. He discerned and he said, this is the time to do it. You know, some situation may arise here. You may come to church and find things and the church is not cleaned and the things are upside down. You don't understand that this is a situation God has created to make you aware, to awaken you of taking your position. But you say, no, Sister Julie will do it. It's their job to clean the church. Or Sister Angel will do it. It's her job to do Sunday school. No. God may have created that condition just as he did for David. You know, just to quicken that calling in you to manifest your position in the body. There's many, I won't go through all of them. Daniel, they were in captivity in Babylon. But he went through reading. Maybe one morning just woke up and said, let me read. He read, he said, 68 years already. The Bible said it's going to be 70 years. The realization of the time he was living in gave him a quickening power to take his position. Nobody else could do what Daniel did that time. He said, no, this is the time to start praying for our return. He took his position. He started fasting, praying, supplications, just for God to bring that promise to realization. He discerned that this is my position in the body. Nehemiah, same thing. He was there. You know, he was in a good position in the palace in Shushan and working here and there. He could just stay and enjoy his life. But when he found some people coming from Jerusalem, he inquired to know, what is going on there? The rest of our people over there, how is things? They say, no, it's desolation there. Things are not working. It was a situation that Nehemiah found himself that quickened his position to know, I have to play my role now. This crisis, this bad news from Jerusalem has just come to make me aware of my role and let me play my role now. He started praying, supplicating, fasting, up until what we have in the Bible written today came to realization. If he didn't take his position, someone else couldn't do it for him. Amen? So, get to understand what your position. Let's not pass this year as all the previous years, as we just come and go and come and go. No. Let's really have a focus. Let's work towards, what am I doing in the body? Am I an idle body? Am I an idle member in the body? The Bible says, a tree that doesn't produce fruit, it will be cut off. Amen. You may, God may be in a position some stage to say, no, no, let me cut him off. No. But we believe that you are here for a reason.
Amen.
Find your position. One last thing I wanted to make you aware of, because sometimes you'll just go and say, oh, Brother Eli was saying, I don't do anything, I don't play any role in this church. No. In the body, there are visible members and invisible members.
Amen.
Amen. And some of the most important tasks, functions in the body are fulfilled by invisible members. Amen. Have you ever seen your heart? No. Most of the time, it's the hands and the legs that will take the glory. Oh, my legs took me to Kilkenny. And my eyes helped me to see that. But your brain, have you ever seen it? This is the mastermind behind everything that is going on. Your heart is the engine behind everything, but you have never seen your heart. You may be that hidden body. You may be that hidden member behind. That's why I was saying, you may be playing a role, but not knowing that you are playing a role. Just go and ask God to help you. Because us, maybe we are just those visible parts of the body. You see, he is a minister, he is a deacon. But you may be the brain. You may be the liver. If the liver fails, the first thing you're going to notice, the eye is going yellow. It's not the eyes are sick, but the liver is sick down there. So if you are not playing correctly your role, you may be the liver, the church will get sick. The church will lose the vision from the pulpit here. Why? Because you, the liver, you are not playing your role. There are even members in the body who are shameful members. Are you with me? They never come out on vision publicly. But they are there to perpetuate life. Amen. If these members don't play their role in the body, the next generation won't come. Amen. You may be the person behind there. You will never come to light. You are a member of the darkness. Your ministry is to be played in darkness, behind closed doors. But it's a very important ministry. Just become aware of who you are. And you will play your role correctly. Amen. Let me just read one last thing. You remember Brother Andrew always speaks about Spurgeon here and the boiler room. Let me read it for you. Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century English preacher, was known as the Prince of Preachers. Bear with me just one more minute. It is not an exaggeration to say that thousands came to Christ through his preaching. A group of young ministers came one day to visit his church. After showing them the massive sanctuary, Spurgeon offered to show them the boiler room. The guests were not interested because boiler rooms were not a pleasant place to visit. You may be playing a role in the church where nobody is interested seeing you. Maybe you clean toilets. People will despise you. They say they don't want to see the boiler room. They were hot and dirty places, usually located down in the basement. In Spurgeon's time, steam was the power source of the day. Boiler rooms were the powerhouse, the driving forces of everything. Spurgeon led the young ministers down to the basement where they found about 100 people in prayer. This, Spurgeon said with a smile, is my boiler room. Whenever Spurgeon was asked the secret of his ministry, he always replies, my people pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. So your position may be one of the members in the boiler room.
Amen.
The success of this ministry, of this church, may be laying on you doing your job in the boiler room.
Amen.
Just become aware of that and do your job correctly.
Amen.
Become aware. Maybe your job is just to wash the clothes of your husband who is the pastor.
Amen.
That's your role. Play it correctly. Amen. And God will bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we are committing the rest of the service into your hands. Take us through, O Lord, the preaching. Take us through the singing, O Lord. Be with us and give us the power to do a good service to you, O Lord. Help every one of us, O Lord, as we go along this year to play our rightful role in our right positions in your body, O Lord. Let us not be negligent, O Lord, but help us to go on our knees to ask for your real will, your perfect will, and what you want us to do. And once we have that revelation, O Lord, let us play it correctly, O Lord. Bless the singing now, bless the preaching of the word, bless the song leaders as we commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.